First John is a letter that is filled with this important teaching of assurance of salvation. Being sure, being certain that we belong to Christ, knowing for certainty that Christ will not let us go. First John is a letter written to Christians very much like us. Men, women, and boys and girls, all people who can have confidence on the day of judgment. John is writing to tell us that we can know that we are saved. Boys and girls who are here, this morning you can know that you are Christians because of what John writes to us. For those who are older, wiser, more mature, we can know that we are Christ's. What wonderful truth this teaching of assurance is. And we're looking in particular at one verse. It's chapter 5, verse 13. We looked at it 2 weeks ago. We're looking at it again this morning. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the question, how do I know that I am saved? I want to just very quickly give a reminder to us and to those who weren't here 2 weeks ago. Assurance is being certain. Assurance is being confident in the promises that God has for us in Christ. It's being convinced and knowing, I have eternal life. And it's possible for us to know that. Our assurance, it's not based on our feelings. It's not based on how well we are doing as Christians. But we saw 2 weeks ago that it's based on what God promises to us. It's based on actual facts. Our assurance is based on realities. Things that Christ has done. The things that Christ is doing for us. Assurance comes from the Word of God. That there are certain facts that cannot be changed. This covenant of redemption. Christ has died for sin. Christ has paid the price. Christ is risen from the dead. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Christ, we are adopted into God's family. We are made His children. In Christ, we have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. These aren't vague thoughts. But these are solid realities, truths, and promises of God. That's the foundation of our assurance. How can we know that we are saved? By looking to the promises of God. This morning, I want to ask the question, well, how then do I grow in assurance? How can I be more confident? How can I be more convinced of these promises in my life? And so that's the question that we are looking at. How do I grow in assurance? To answer this question, I want us first of all to consider the reasons why we lack assurance. The reasons for lacking assurance. There are many reasons why we can lack assurance, but I want to give us four this morning. Four reasons why we sometimes doubt that we are saved. As we look at these four reasons, I know that I'm going to be speaking to some of you directly. Each of us can fall into one or more of these categories. Each of us who are Christians, we have probably experienced more than one of these reasons why we doubt our salvation at times. So I want to let you know you're not alone if you're doubting salvation. Let's look at these four reasons that I want us to consider. The first reason is because of our character. Because of our character. John is writing these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. He's writing to those who believe. Well, who are they? Well, these are the Christians that we come across in his letter. Those who are fathers. Those who are sons. Those who are mothers and daughters. If you read through 1 John, and I would encourage you to do that this afternoon if you have time, you can come across those who are strong in their faith and those who are weak. Those who are recent converts. Those who are easily swayed. Those who are firm. But all of them are children of God. All with different characteristics. But all children of their Heavenly Father. We each have different temperaments and characteristics. As we watch children grow, as they grow from babies into toddlers, we see their characteristics developing. Two children brought up in the same home, two children who have been brought up in exactly the same way, they can be very different children. One can be outgoing, whereas the other can be shy. One can be brave, the other timid. One can be very tender-hearted, the other can maybe be a little bit more thick-skinned. Even in a home, we see there are different characteristics in a family. The same within God's family. We are different. We each have our own temperaments. Some of us are prone to doubting. Some are given over to their feelings of unworthiness and insecurity more. Some people are timid and unsure. It's part of their character. And so we have to realize that for some people, they are more prone to lacking assurance because of their character. Yes, they are those who believe, but we are different. Those who are prone to lacking assurance, sometimes we can also find that they are more sympathetic. Sometimes they are more thoughtful. That they are better at examining themselves. We all strive for Christ-likeness. We're all to grow in Christ-likeness, but we still have our own characteristics. Perhaps that's you this morning. You lack assurance. Maybe part of that is it's just part of your character. You're someone who is prone to doubting and insecurity. Now, that's not an excuse to not grow in assurance. That's not saying that those people with this type of character will always doubt their salvation. But we are to realize that for some of us, we are naturally uncertain people. And so for some of us, we have to work harder at assurance. Continually reminding ourselves that salvation isn't based on us. But we're to be focusing more and more on Christ. We're not to be looking at our own weakness, our own timidity, our own uncertainty. But looking to our King and our Savior. One reason for lacking assurance is just our character. The second reason for lacking assurance is a lack of understanding. A lack of understanding. John is writing to those who believe in the name of the Son of God. He's writing to Christians. He's writing to those who have heard the gospel. He is writing to those who have come in faith through Christ. They've confessed their sins. God has forgiven them. God has shown love to them and brought them into His family, that they are saved. But in John's letter, he doesn't stop there. John has to give teaching. He teaches them of the love that God has. He teaches them that it's an adopting love. It's a love that has brought them into a family. He's teaching them that it's a love that changes them. It's a sanctifying love. He teaches them that it's a love that makes them right before God. God's love is a justifying love. They are changed. They are brought into God's family. And God is changing them. That there's teaching that is going on. Why do we sometimes lack assurance? One reason is because we don't understand the gospel as well as we should. Yes, we can explain it. We can share it with others. But it's a simplified version. It's a version that covers the necessities, yes, but doesn't go into the richness or the depth. We are to be people who study the gospel. We are to be those who look deep into the truths of the promises of the gospel. We are to be theologians, students of the gospel. Unfortunately, there are some Christians in our nation who only ever hear a shorthand form of the gospel. They're only ever given the summary. And God has been gracious to them. God has brought them into His family, but they never progress beyond the basics. They only hear testimonies and stories of people who are dramatically converted, and important doctrines like election, like justification, being made right before God. The doctrine of adoption, being brought into God's family as children and having an inheritance, an eternal inheritance. The doctrine of sanctification, how God works in us by His Spirit, changing us, that we're not made perfect, but we will be when we see our Savior. Unfortunately, some believers remain on the baby's milk diet. They don't progress to solid food. And so when troubles come along, they lack assurance. They lack an understanding. John says, I write these things. He is writing doctrine. He is writing about deep truths. He is writing them to Christians that they may know, that they might grow in assurance. There can be a lack of teaching, which in turn leads to a lack of understanding, which can lead to a lack of assurance. People can doubt that they are saved because they haven't fed on the meat of the gospel. They haven't delved into the truths of the promises. They just continually are being given the surface teaching. We're to be thoroughly acquainted with the gospel. The third reason for a lack of assurance is because of the struggles that we have in our own lives. The struggles we have in our own lives. Here I'm thinking of the trials that we face, the sufferings that we go through, sickness, weakness, temptations. That those things that aren't of our doing, sometimes God can bring those to us to discipline us, to correct us, call us back to the right path. But often we face them because we are Christians living in a fallen world. And we can look at our circumstances. We can look at the things that are happening in our lives and we can say, am I really a Christian? If all of this is happening to me, does God really love me? If God loves me, then why has this circumstance not changed? If God loves me and He hears my prayer, then why hasn't He answered that prayer? Maybe it's because He doesn't love me. Maybe it's because I'm not a Christian. If I was a true Christian, then surely I would be able to cope with this circumstance so much better. We can ask those questions and come to the wrong conclusion. We can say, perhaps God doesn't love me. Maybe this morning that's the situation that you're in. You look around and you see other Christians who appear to be coping so much better. Everyone else seems to be growing as a Christian. Everyone else seems to be prospering as Christ's people. I'm being left behind because of my circumstances. That can make us doubt our salvation. But look at whom John is writing to. He's writing to Christians who struggle. John is writing this letter because these are Christians who need to be assured of salvation. He writes to you, little children. He is writing to you, fathers. He is writing to you, young men. He is writing to you, women. He is writing to you, struggling child of God. John calls them my little children because they are children of God. Those who need assurance because of the circumstances that they're going through. The fourth reason for lacking assurance is our negligence. Our own negligence of spiritual discipline. Here I'm now speaking of our own feelings. Our failing in our duty. We don't read God's word as we should. All too often we quickly rush through that daily time with God. Or sometimes we forgo it altogether. We neglect family worship. We neglect prayer. We neglect to discipline ourselves spiritually. We fall into the same sins time and time again. And then we don't confess our sin. We don't witness. We give ourselves to the desires of the world rather than to Christ. John writes in chapter 2, do not love the world or the things in the world. We fall into sin. And when we neglect our duty, or when we fall into sin, we can doubt our salvation. Am I really saved? Look at how weak I am as a Christian. Look at the things that I do. Why do I keep doing the things that I hate and not do the things that I want to do? Isn't that Paul's question in Romans 7? We can doubt our salvation. We can lack assurance because of neglect in our own life. We fall into sin. I've used this illustration before. It's one that I heard growing up in my home congregation. It's one that I think is helpful. When we sin, We are like the little girl who just got a new dress, and she's walking down the road, and there's a dirty puddle. And either she thinks to herself it will be fun to splash in it, or she stumbles and falls, but she ends up in the dirty puddle. She looks down. Her new dress is ruined. There's a sense of shame, an embarrassment, a sense of real unworthiness. What have I done? That's like us as Christians when we fall into sin. On the other hand, there's the pig. The pig walks down the same road. He sees the puddle and he thinks, lovely. And he wallows in it. And he rolls in it. And he looks around and thinks, this is great. I don't need to be anywhere else. I love this puddle. That's the world. For the Christian, when we sin, that sense that we have ruined the righteousness of Christ, that sense that we have disappointed God yet again, we've grieved the Spirit, we've let down our Father in heaven, that sense of shame, that's a good feeling. If we were loving the sin, if we were rolling in the puddle, if we were thinking, isn't this wonderful? Then we would have to question our salvation. But at times we do neglect our duty. We fall into sin, and it can make us doubt. We see our sin and our negligence, and we can doubt that we are His children. It's a reason why we can lack assurance. Four reasons why we can lack assurance. Each of us can fall into one or more of these categories. And each of us probably will fall into one or more of these categories. But secondly, I want us to look at our response to a lack of assurance. Our response to a lack of assurance. How are we to respond to these challenges? How are we to grow in assurance? Surely if God's promises for us are true, then we want to be more assured of them. As John says here in verse 13, that we may know that we have eternal life. If that's possible, then surely we want this knowledge, this certainty, in growing measure. I want to know that I have eternal life. How do we do it? How do we respond? Three ways to grow in assurance. Again, there are more than three, but I want us to focus on three this morning. Firstly, we grow in assurance by focusing on Christ Jesus. Focusing on Christ Jesus. As I said, we are to be students of the gospel. We're to meditate on it. We're to study it. The Shorter Catechism, answer 36. It says, the benefits which in this life do accompany or flow from justification, adoption, and sanctification are assurance of God's love, peace of conscience, joy in the Holy Spirit. From justification, being made right with God, that certain reality. From adoption, being brought into God's family in Christ, that promise, that solid reality. From sanctification, God changing us and making us more like Christ, that promise and that reality. From these things, we grow in assurance. When we study the gospel, when we read the promises of God, when we meditate on what Christ has done for us, when we can see that our sin is dealt with and Christ's righteousness has been given to us, And we can stand before God as His children. And God is changing us and making us like our Savior when we understand these truths more and more. When we are focusing on Christ and meditating on the gospel, then we are growing in assurance. Justified, adopted, sanctified. Give ourselves to the gospel. Give ourselves to the truth of God's word. John says, I write these things to you who believe, that you may know. So read them. Read the doctrines. Get our minds around all that God has done for us. Practically, how are we to do that? Practically, how are we to give ourselves to these truths and learn more? Bible studies. Men, if you have doubts about your salvation, where can you go to grow in assurance? There's a good place. Men's fellowship. Men's Bible study. There we read about the spiritual truths. There are other men who have doubts, who are unsure. There we can come together around God's word. There we can remind ourselves of the promises and grow in assurance. Do you want to grow in assurance? Do you want to be more certain of the truths, of the promises? Do you want to know that you have eternal life? There's the men's fellowship. There's one place. Woman, where can you go? Where can you go when you're doubting? When you lack assurance? The ladies' fellowship. Ladies' Bible study. There again, the same thing. You're meeting with like-minded people, reminding yourselves of the promises of the truths. It's good for us. We can grow in assurance. We can be more and more certain of our eternal salvation by coming together around God's word. Children, where can you go so that you know that you are a Christian, or so that you can be confident that you love Jesus Christ? Well, you go to Sabbath school. You go to CY. Come to the Holiday Bible Club. Family worship in the home. Now, doing these things and going to these places doesn't make you a Christian. We're only a Christian by believing in Jesus Christ and coming to God, asking for forgiveness for our sin. That's how we are saved. But do you want to grow and be more sure that you love Jesus? Then go to Sabbath school. Go to CY. Read your Bible at home. We're to surround ourselves with the promises of the gospel. And so we come to God's word in our own personal quiet times, reading the word at home, and of course, coming together at church, hearing again the promises proclaimed from the pulpit. Listen to the sermon. Fully involve yourself in a sermon. Ask yourselves questions when you're listening to the sermon. What am I learning about Christ today? What promises are being made from God's word? What have I heard about salvation? Be students of God's word. Listen to the promises. Focus on Christ. That will help you grow in assurance. A second way to grow in assurance, a lot more briefly, is to be disciplined. Assurance of salvation, it takes work. We read earlier in our service from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. We have a duty. The Westminster Confession of Faith in chapter 18 speaks of the duty of every Christian to be growing in assurance. Be diligent in making our calling and election sure. That means know more and more that you have eternal life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know. We're to be disciplined. Be disciplined in being obedient. Be disciplined by loving one another. This is what John is highlighting in his letter. I write these things. Be disciplined in giving ourselves to what God commands us. It takes work. Remember, this isn't what saves us. Salvation is through Christ alone. It is that gift of God. But this is how we grow in knowing that we are saved. This is how we grow in assurance. Be disciplined. It'll take spiritual sweat. That's a term that's come up in our men's fellowship group time and time again in the book we're studying. It's going to require some spiritual sweat. We're going to have to get down to it. We're going to have to work at it. But as we do so, we find that God is working in us. And God's Spirit is enabling us and strengthening us and helping us. If we want to be more assured of salvation, be disciplined. Disciplined in obedience. Disciplined in love. The third way to grow is pray. Pray for assurance. John says in verse 14, 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence we have towards Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if He hears us, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of Him. Putting this verse into context, I believe that John is first and foremost speaking about assurance. As we look through his letter in confessing our sin, God is faithful and just. It's part of God's will. We confess our sin. And we know that He hears us because He's faithful and just to forgive us. In praying that we will love one another, God enables us to love one another. We're to pray that we will grow in assurance. Pray that we will know that we have eternal life. God gives us that assurance. It may take time. It'll be a process. Sometimes we will slip back into doubts. But pray more and more that God will give you the certainty of salvation. If you're lacking assurance this morning, pray that God will hear. Tell God that you're lacking assurance. Ask Him to give you greater assurance. Ask Him to stir your hearts in the promises of Christ. Pray for assurance. How to respond to a lack of assurance. We're to do it by focusing on Christ, disciplining ourselves, and in prayer. Then thirdly and finally and very briefly, the results of growing in assurance. The results of growing in assurance. I want to draw our attention to just a few results as we grow in assurance. As we grow in our certainty, in our knowing that we have eternal life, we will love the gospel more. We will love Christ more. Our hearts will burn and they'll be enlarged towards Christ. The more assured we are of eternal life, the more we will love the promises that are ours in Christ. The greater and the deeper our search of God's promises and God's saving purpose in Christ, the more we will love what God has done for us. Our hearts will be enlarged. The more assured we are, the more faithful and the more obedient we will become. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commands, and God's commands will not be burdensome to us. We will love to obey. We will love to be disciplined. As we grow in the certainty of eternal life, we will love to follow the commands of the one who first loved us and gave himself for us. And we will love to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. As we grow in assurance, we will become more faithful, more obedient. The more assured we are of our salvation, the more we will speak of Christ. The more assured we are that this is the only way to be saved, the more equipped and the more ready we will be to speak of him to others. I am certain that Christ Jesus has died for me, and I am certain I have eternal life. And I am certain that this is the message that you need to hear. The more assured we are, the more ready we are to speak and to witness for Christ. As we grow in assurance, we will also be able to face our circumstances with greater certainty and peace. I'm not saying that our circumstances will change. I'm not saying that things will get easier for us as we become more assured of salvation. But we will know that he holds us. We will be certain that he will not let us go. We will be able to say in the most difficult of circumstances, I have eternal life, and I am one of his children, and I am here at this time because he has brought me to here. But he will keep me, and he will bring me to be with me, to be with him where he is. He has shown his love to me. He laid down his life for me. We'll have greater peace. We'll have greater certainty in our difficult circumstances the more assured we are of salvation. It's like Paul says in Romans 8:38. For I am certain, I am sure that neither death nor life, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And then lastly, as we grow in assurance, we will look forward to eternity more. As we become more assured of what God has done for us in Christ, we will look forward to that day more and more. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. As we know we have eternal life, as we are more certain and assured of it, we'll be looking forward to it more and more. John says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. Do you want to grow in assurance? Do you want to know more and more that you have eternal life? There is a way that we can do so. As we come to God in Christ, as we focus our thoughts on the gospel, as we live for Christ and pray, and what wonderful results, we find that we become more assured. We become more Christ-like. We're ready to witness, and we look forward to that great and glorious day when we will be with him. You know that you have eternal life. Amen.